More and more, as I grow older and have the opportunity to preach the Word of God, the more I'm convinced that I should preach more of the gospel. Now, you say, what do you mean, preacher? I thought you preached the gospel all the time. Well, I always try to get the gospel in every message or most every message that I preach. But I find in these days, there are very few people who really understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it's all about. They just don't understand it. They have no real knowledge of it. And I also find, now that I'm back in evangelism and I'm traveling from place to place, and as God opens the doors and thanking Him for those open doors, I'm preaching more and more the gospel. Because people don't understand it. They don't know it anymore. I wish I could stay in verse 22 of 1 Peter another whole week. I'd like to just stay there because it's a tremendous verse of Scripture that tells about our being purified, our souls being purified. Now, other places in Scripture talks about our flesh being flesh and remaining flesh until we get our new body. But our soul is purified. And that means forever. That means it's done. It's finished. It's a one-work thing. And it's explained a little further as we go on down. So let's keep moving. What is the result? Now, I stopped right in the middle of the verse yesterday. What is the result of obeying the truth through the Spirit? What is the result of having this purified soul? What is the result of it? What happens when we are truly born again by the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe in the God, Jehovah God, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? What happens? He says, unto. That means, well, you saved and then you go straight into this, unto. This follows. This is right after it. After we're saved, after we're born again, unto. We go unto. I really don't have an example in my mind very clearly how to express that, but if I leave one place and start toward another, I leave my back door, I have made a step. I have left my back door to go to the mailbox to get my mail. Now, I have made the step. I am on my way to get the mail. My plans are, and I will go get the mail. And I've been told, if you put this in salvation language, I've been told that I'm going to get the mail. I've been told it's there for me. I've been told it's waiting for me on the other side. And just as soon as I leave the back door and make that step toward the mailbox to get the mail out on the street, I go unto the mailbox. In other words, I am on my way. It's not that I'm going to get the mail in order to leave my back door. It's not that I'm going to get the mail just to make that first step and decide I'm going to get the mail. It's I leave my back door with the step toward the mailbox, and I go unto the mailbox to get the mail. So what does the Christian do when he is saved? He has obeyed the truth through the Spirit, and what happens? Unto. He's on his way unto unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. I could stay there. I could stay there on and on and on. We've got so much feigned love among Christians today until it makes you sick. I'm sure it makes God sick. I'm sure the Laodicean church age in which we're living, the Bible says it makes God want to spew and do. He will spew them out of his mouth. It makes us sick. There's so many people who claim to love you that would say, I love you in front of you with a dagger in their hand reaching for your middle of your stomach or around your back to stab you in the back. And they'll do it. They'll do it in spite of everything that we can do, in spite of everything that we preach. Now, a Christian does not have unfeigned love. A Christian is not putting on love. A Christian doesn't love other Christians and get to love other Christians by running around saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I get so exasperated with some of the mess that's going on today in our country. Just love, just love. If you just love everybody, if you just love everybody, you'll be all right. You just love everybody, you'll have everything wonderful, and you'll always be happy, and you'll never want for anything, and you'll have your Cadillacs and Mercedes Benz, and you'll have whatever you want because you love. No, there's an awful lot of unfeigned love. There's an awful lot of feigned love. That is, you put it on. You say it, but you don't mean it. But if you're truly born again and you say, I love you, you mean it. Now, what's that love directed toward? The unfeigned love of the brethren, those that are born again, those that are saved, brethren in Christ. These are the ones who receive our unfeigned love. We actually love them. We don't just try to love them. We don't just make out like we love them, but we love them. And you say, but preacher, you don't know what they did to me. Well, it doesn't make 1 ounce of difference what they did to you. If you don't love them, there's something wrong with you. You see, everybody is not perfect, and everybody's not going to act like you want them to act and do like you want them to do. And so what you do is you love them. It comes with salvation. You love the brethren. Now, we stumble and fail miserably, I know, but along with salvation comes this unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart. A pure heart, not for earthly gain, not for something that you can get for yourself, not for something that you can butter your own bread with, not for something that you can climb the social ladder or climb the religious ladder or climb the denominational ladder with, but you love them with a pure heart, pure heart. Now, that heart has been purified and purified in the first part of the verse by your obeying the word of God and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you love one another with a pure heart and you love them fervently, not just half-heartedly, but fervently. And then he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. So if you are born again, not of corruptible seed, these things are going to follow your believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.